So I'm glad to be able to introduce our guest speaker today, Steph Chandler Burns. We reached out to Pastors in Exile, which is a ministry up in KW that kind of connects with, I think, young people and people who are sort of unchurched or semi-churched and around the church. And some of you may remember Chris was here about a year and a half ago, whose name, last name I always forget how to pronounce. There's a J in there, which is Burgess. There we go. So Chris spoke about kind of younger people and engagement in the church, and he was one of the pastors and pastors in exile back when we booked him. So they've got a program called Preach It, which connects younger preachers with Mennonite congregations, and so we reached out, and I was really glad when Steph's name came up. I met Steph a couple of years ago through Lisa, I think, when I was going to the conference in Winnipeg. Lisa said, there's somebody who's super awesome and you have to meet her. You just have to meet up. And I think I was already your friend on, I was already following you on Twitter possibly at the time. And so Steph is kind of the snarky voice of Mennonite Twitter in many, many respects. And I'm awfully glad to have her here today to bring the message.
That's a good reputation to carry with me. Good morning. Thank you for having me. We're going to start off with a little bit of an imagination exercise, so feel free to take whichever posture you're best able to dig into the scripture and imagine yourself there. So close your eyes if you need to, or just relax, move around if you have to, but imagine with me. So imagine, it's about noon on a hot and dry day. You are tired and weary. You walked to the well yesterday at noon. You will have to do the same tomorrow. You grow tired of having to walk 30 minutes out of town for water each day. You are especially tired of the isolation that you feel. Yet you keep coming to the well when you know that no one else will be around. It's dry, your tongue is parched and heavy, and you're longing for relief. To top it all off, the jars that you carry are already heavy, and they will only get heavier when you fill them with water. Emotionally, you're also weary. You have not lived an easy life. The isolation that you face comes from the pain that you've been through. Those around you just don't seem to understand. You've experienced loss of structure and stability in your life. Hardships have caused breakdown of relationships and family structures, and the social context that you live in just doesn't know how to approach you or interact with you anymore. You've experienced trauma and pain because of this breakdown of your family, and you experience trauma and pain of those around you not knowing how to respond. So it's just easier to come to the well at noon, when very few people will be there. You can avoid their sideways glances, their judgment and misunderstanding that you feel when you come to the well at peak times. It's just easier to be alone. But as you approach the well today, you notice someone up ahead, a man who is clearly a traveler. You don't need this today. You don't need to be caught alone with a strange man. So you grow a little nervous. You imagine all the ways that this could go wrong. What kind of intentions does this stranger have alone at the well at midday? What would others think if they heard that you were alone at a well with a strange man? You notice that he sits on the capstone of the well, which is inconvenient. You hope he moves when you get closer. Your arms are aching from the weight of the heavy jars. As you get closer, the strange man doesn't move, which is odd and uncomfortable. Custom dictates that he should be giving you space, both to signify that you are safe from harm, and because people like you and people like him are not supposed to associate. Instead, as you approach, he asks you for a drink of water. This seems odd. He is clearly a traveler, yet he has no way of drawing his own water, which is unlike most travelers. And the man is clearly Jewish, given that you normally don't see him in these parts. His question is doubly strange then. The Jewish people typically refuse to drink from Samaritan vessels, which they consider unclean. So you're a bit annoyed at this point, and you wonder what kind of games this strange man might be playing. You came a long way in the heat, you just want a drink of water, and you want to get these heavy jars home. They will be even heavier when you fill them with water. And you're so tired already. Can you picture that? Do you feel the dry mouth, the fatigue, the sore arms from carrying these heavy burdens of pain, trauma, and physically heavy jars? I certainly can. I feel a lot of affinity for this woman right now. She's carrying a lot. She's tired and burnt out. She has some needs of caring for herself that she needs to see to. This woman comes to the well seeking something. She's seeking sustenance. She needs something to quench her thirst. She needs water, which in the hot desert at noon is pretty much synonymous with life. She comes seeking sustenance in order to maintain life. She just wants to take care of her needs as quickly as possible and get those heavy jars home. Or at least that's what I would want. This woman carries a heavy burden with her to the well, both emotionally and physically. These jars are heavy, and they will only get heavier when they are filled. I noticed when I read this text just how much water talk there is. The water, this life-giving need that sustains, is important to the author John. In the first passage we read this morning, verses 1 to 15, water words appear almost every sentence. First, when Jesus asks for water, then when Jesus offers water, then when the Samaritan woman describes the importance of the well, then as Jesus describes the living water that he will provide, then finally the tables are turned when the Samaritan woman asks Jesus for water. Water, this concept of quenching, of sustenance, is key. The woman came looking to fill those heavy jars with something that would sustain her. But, surprise, the sustenance that she will leave with isn't contained in the jar. But what is this life-giving water that she receives in this passage? Between verses 1 and 15, there's a lot of water talk. But as soon as the woman replies, "Sir, please give me a drink of that water," all of a sudden the water talk stops. Next follows this confusing conversation about husbands and worship styles, and by the end, she's running off to share the good news that she has found the sustenance she's looking for. In verses 16 to 26, our second passage from this morning, Jesus and the woman are no longer talking about physical water. Instead, Jesus is now offering her the other sustenance that she came seeking. Jesus offers her conversation, non-judgment, the chance to be in an in-group. Jesus provides the hope that she will not always be on the outside. She won't always have to come to the well at noon to avoid judgment or hostility, but that the time is coming and is already here that God will save the world, even the Samaritans. Her different worship practices or background will not disqualify her from true worship. As someone on the outside, this open invitation into God's work is radical, exciting, and life-giving. This invitation is living water, the very sustenance a lonely, rejected, judged and fatigued woman would have needed to be renewed. In this section of the passage where the water talk stops, we get to witness Jesus giving the woman living water. Then in the final section from this morning, the disciples come back, just concerned about food. These silly disciples are right in the middle of everything, and somehow they're seeming to miss it. Those disciples that I'm called to be, yet really I don't want to be them at all. They come back and they offer Jesus sustenance, this time in the form of food. And now we are back in a section of the text which again plays with the idea of what it is that brings us life. As the disciples offer Jesus food, the woman leaves the heavy jars behind. The woman, having received the sustenance, the invitation into this divine in-group, can now approach the community who had rejected her with the story of good news. She no longer needs to carry the heavy burden of the jars. She no longer seeks to fill them with a temporary sustenance. At the same time that the woman runs to town proclaiming good news of a divine source of life, the disciples almost miss it. They almost miss the divine food that Jesus offers, a chance to join in the work of God, because they become too focused on something that will not sustain them long term. The disciples, although we know that they were called from various outgroups, in this text to me represent an in-group. The Jewish community who worships properly, the people who are close enough to God to think that they know what God needs, but somehow they still don't quite get it. There is a contrast here between the Samaritan woman, who is rejected, hurting, isolated, who doesn't know how to worship properly, and these disciples. The woman, receiving this divine living water from Jesus, gets to be a part of this divine in-group. She gets to experience a salvation, a form of sustenance that was unexpected for a Samaritan woman. She leaves behind the jars because she no longer needs to fill them with what won't bring life. In contrast, we have the disciples. They'll get there someday, but it's still early. Today, the disciples cling to what doesn't bring life. If they had jars, they'd be clinging onto them, desperate to fill them. The woman's jars were heavy, and they'd only be heavier when they were filled with water. So today, we live in a time with anxiety, capitalism, confusion, rejection. I suspect most of us have no trouble feeling empathy for this woman, because we all know how it feels to be rejected, hurt, tired, weary, or all of the above at once. And we all know what it is like to carry heavy jars through uncomfortable situations or emotions in an attempt to fill them. As a society, as a culture, as a church, we are constantly carrying around our burdens, desperate to fill them with something that can sustain us. And often enough, we fill our jars not with something life-giving, but with something that makes them heavier and harder to carry. Often we feel we have to carry them alone at midday, hiding from the judgment or rejection of others. And sometimes we are the disciples, and we think we already have what is life-giving, and we try to force it onto others. We attempt to get others to eat what is not life-giving. We cling to the things that we think will provide life, ignoring the example of Jesus and the example of the woman, who both have something that we don't. We cling to our jars, to the things that might sustain us. There are many examples of the things that we cling to that do not bring life. We attempt to fill ourselves or to find meaning in so many places. The things that we fill our jars with are more numerous than the number of people in this room. But as we approach the well, trying to fill ourselves with that non-living water, Jesus sits on the well. Jesus speaks to the rejected, isolated me and welcomes me into true worship. Jesus speaks to the rejected, isolated you and welcomes you into true worship. Jesus speaks to a society, to a church in fear of rejection and pain and says, your background doesn't matter. Come and worship. But as a church, I worry that we are the disciples too often. I worry that we think that we have found something that sustains us, and we attempt to feed it to others who don't need it. We cling to church structure, we cling to doctrine, to our worldviews or our political views. We cling to our perfect image of God that we think we have right. And we forget to, like Jesus, invite others into the divine in-group. We create a false binary of in-group and out-group. We insist that others must worship with us on this mountain. We insist that they take our form of sustenance. But God is bigger. Instead, we are called to leave our jars behind, run back into town with the woman, proclaiming the divine welcome that has the power to sustain us all.